it's tangled up. And don't you know, the pussycat in me is curling up right now, but I'll bloom from the inside out. But right now there's dust on my guitar, you fuck.
And this is Verbal Diarrhea.
Yeah, welcome to our second show.
Yeah, hopefully the audio quality is a lot better than our full show.
Yeah, because like we did it, and when we were trying to edit it, we were like, holy shit, what the fuck did we do wrong?
Yeah, there was something wrong with levels, and so we bought ourselves a new mic, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we went on a real quest. Yeah. Like, we bought a really nice vocal mic just for the first podcast, and then... It was a real vocal mic. It's not a shit mic. It's just we bought shit, or we had shit in our hands or whatever. Like, it didn't work for like a 2-person podcast.
Well, no.
So
we were gonna pay millions of dollars.
Exactly. Like we're really poor.
Yeah.
So we just hardly make enough money to go get by. And we bought another mic, and it was cheap and it's nice. It's a conference mic, and that's what we're using right now. And well, people are not interested in that. But anyway, it was my fault that the last podcast had shit levels, because I wanted to do it at my place on my laptop. And as it turns out, laptop sound cards are shit for something like this.
Well, yeah. So,
yeah, we're at Kat's place now, where we're going to do the podcast from now on. And it's just taking me, 1.5 or 2 hours to get to your place?
Yeah, something like that. Probably cost you an arm and a leg, but, you know.
So, we wanted actually to do the podcast every week, because, like, my brain just doesn't work for more than, like, I can't trace things for more than a week back.
Yeah.
So, I always need Kat to tell me what the hell we were watching last week.
Speaking of what we were watching last week.
So, yes, we're sorry for the bad quality. I just wanted to say that. And apparently I talk too fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had a few feedback, which we'll discuss later.
Yeah, that's true.
But first, we should get on to our movie reviews.
All right, so what are we talking about this time?
Well, let's start with the first thing we saw.
Well, how about we give an overview? Like, we've seen Friends with Money, as we said last time.
Yeah.
And then
we saw the Ant Bully.
Yeah, we managed to see the Ant Bully.
Yeah, which was awesome.
And then
we went and saw the World Trade Center movie by Oliver Stone.
Yeah, and we were both positively surprised by it.
Absolutely.
Very surprised by it after all the weird reviews we've read.
Yeah.
But more on that later. So we're going to start out with Friends with Money. Mm-hmm. And, we just went to see that because what's this song? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
sorry.
That was just random.
Yeah. It was like, oh, there's a vampire creeping up on us.
Vampires.
So we went to see Friends with Money, which we just went to see because we couldn't see The Ant Bully, which we actually wanted to see.
Yeah, and we really wanted to see Friends with Money because of the cast.
It had
an awesome cast.
It was amazing. Like, we could only remember Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
We remember that there was an awesome cast, but I couldn't come up with a name.
And then we're in the cinema going, oh my god, it's Frances McDormand. Oh my god, it's that lady. What's her name?
Catherine Keener.
And then it was, you know, it's Joan Cusack
and... And the guy from Harry Potter movie, Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs, yeah.
See, that's where we are at, absolutely. They're great. Frances McDormand, her best scene is like when she's running into that the glass wall or whatever it is.
Yeah,
She's on a rampage. So what was up with her character anyway?
I think she was going through a bit of a midlife crisis.
It was just midlife crisis.
Because she was turning 40 in the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Her husband was sort of... Everyone thought her husband was gay.
So looked gay.
And she was, you know, just not feeling beautiful anymore. And she thought the older she gets, the less she has to try.
Yeah.
So she was just bitter and angry. And by the end of it was fine.
Yeah. It was just fine because I thought that the way she was portrayed, you could almost think that she might have, like... She's mentally challenged, or she has
or pain,
like Alzheimer's or something.
Yeah, or she's going through a a really bad stage.
It was perfect. It was amazingly played by Frances McDormand. I mean, she's one of my favorite actresses. Mm. She was amazing. She was like, what do you call that when people have to swear a lot and they can't help it?
Tourette's.
It's like Tourette's syndrome. She was just walking through the market and then she went like, asshole!
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It was just amazing. Yeah.
Frances McDormand was absolutely awesome in this film.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
Oh, and actually, speaking of the women, we should say what the movie's about, but first off, it's basically about four women.
Yeah.
And they're all friends. Three of them are rich.
And married.
Most of them because of their husbands and their jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them, Jennifer Aniston's character, she's the only one who's not rich.
Yeah, she's a maid. She's working as a maid. Yeah, so she's a bit of a stoner.
Yeah, it turns out that at first you think like she's one of those losers who has those weird unskilled workers' jobs. Like she's a maid for all kinds of people.
Yeah.
For like, what, $50 an hour a day?
Oh, sometimes less than that. Sometimes less than that. Remember the guy that cheated her out and said, I can't afford it?
Yeah, well, it was like, I don't work under $65. Yeah, that's right, that's right. It for the day? It was for the day. And he was like, well, I can't afford it. And he was just giving her 50, and she was like, yeah, well, okay.
True.
She was one of the characters that gets pushed around a lot. She didn't have a lot of self-esteem and stuff.
Yeah.
But what I really liked about the movie, especially because it's basically about these four women, is that all of the actresses, they didn't mind being portrayed as normal women.
Yeah.
Like, given to, by Hollywood standards, they were sort of ugly.
Yeah,
ugly-ish.
Yeah. Like, everyone looks so old in this film.
They weren't glamorous
and I liked
or anything.
That.
Yeah,
I
they
like
were
that.
So realistic.
Yeah.
They
absolutely.
Had their bad hair days and stuff. Like, Frances McDormand's character has this weird OCD with not washing her hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just, like, in the face, they look exactly how old the character should look.
Yeah, yeah.
And they looked gritty,
really cool.
And they had wrinkles, and...
And Joan Cusack, you know...
Oh, my God!
She looks so old.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, my God, is that Joan Cusack?
Yeah.
At first, I couldn't even think of the name. I was like, I know this lady.
Mm. But this film didn't really have much of a story. Like, there was a story there, but there was nothing, like, massively, you know, awe-inspiring. It was just a couple of days in the life of these group of people.
Yeah, it's like when people ask you, what's this movie about? You go like, well, there's these four women, and it's about their lives.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It sounds weird.
Definitely check it out. It's a really good movie.
Definitely. It has very good acting in it. The characters are well fleshed out.
Absolutely.
They're all different and yet have the same problems. Mm. And it's just a very realistic film. It's sort of like showing what... How long does it take? Like 10, 20 days in the lives of these people?
Yeah, pretty much like that. Sort of
And also it's not just about those four women, but also their husbands. Yeah. Catherine Keener was playing a script writer.
Her husband
was a script writer as well. And somehow I think he was more successful than she was because he was like the big guy and whatever. And they just had, I don't know, the overall like message of the movie was that everyone has the same problems, whether
absolutely.
They're rich or poor, whether they're beautiful or ugly. I remember that one scene with Catherine Keener and Jason Isaacs, who played her husband, when I think she burned herself by cooking something, and she started swearing and was like, got ice out of the fridge
because they were in the
kitchen, and he was standing there, and he didn't even ask her whether she was okay, and she was going on this rampage. Why didn't you even ask me why I'm okay?
He goes, yo, you're okay, aren't
well,
you?
Well, because obviously you are okay. You have the situation under control. Mm. You're going to the fridge. You're getting ice. What else could I do?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you could show me that you care.
Absolutely.
And he didn't get it what she was on about.
Mm.
And it was such a sad scene. And it was just, I don't know. Those characters were all so real. So you have this amazing cast. And I'm not a huge Jennifer Aniston fan. I mean, I don't hate her, but I also don't love her, so it's like, I've seen a couple of movies with her, and she's fairly good, but in this, she's really amazing.
Yeah, no, she was really
and the way they portrayed her being the poor person, I really liked that, like, this one scene where they had this montage when she goes to those beauty shops, and goes like, I heard that you have this, whatever lotion it was, you have, what do you call it, like a free sample?
And she went to
10 or 20 different shops and always did the same thing. Like, I heard you have this free sample. And in one of the shops, she also was like, well, my friend would want a free sample too. And the guy was like, nah, I don't fall for that trick. And then was it Catherine Keener's character, came along and was like, see, that's my friend. She wants a sample. Don't you want a sample? And Catherine Keener was like, okay, yeah. So give her a sample, goddammit. And the guy just handed out the second sample.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Great idea. I don't think it'll work in Australia, though. But anyway.
Yeah, you never know. But it's just, I loved it how they really showed her that she had all this stuff and it was all this free sample because otherwise she couldn't afford it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also love the idea that she was actually, she studied, she was a teacher or something.
Yeah, yeah, she used to be a teacher.
So just that something happened to her, like she wasn't happy with the job she had there, something happened at the school, so she dropped out and then she had these weird jobs. And ended up being a maid.
Yeah,
and there was also that funny scene when the maid of one of the rich friends comes in while she's visiting one of her rich friends, and she goes like, "Hey, whatever, Juanita." It was one of those. It was the cliched Spanish maid.
Yeah,
and she was like, "Hey, Juanita, I'm a maid now too." And the maid didn't know what to say. Goes like, "Oh, okay, awesome, great job."
You remember this a lot more than I do. I can't remember half of it. Maybe
I know. I didn't even remember a lot. And now all these weird scenes are coming up in my head. It was a really beautiful film. It was well acted. The characters have depth. They also change throughout the film.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just the overall message. There are several messages, I think, that depending on what you want to get from it.
Yeah.
But it's like, because most of those characters were approaching 40, one of the characters just turned 40. I think it starts out with the dinner, birthday dinner for Frances McDormand's character or something, when she turns 40.
Yeah.
And that's when all the shit happens in her life, when she goes totally mental. I think that when you're around 40, or you're approaching 40, you're so settled in your life and in your ways, you don't really think about it anymore.
Yeah.
You're so, well, it sounds weird, but you turn narrow-minded because you're not open anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to your everyday life and stuff. And then, like, Catherine Keener's character, all of a sudden, she like, wakes up or something. And the ending for Jennifer Aniston's character was really nice. It's sort of like, you gotta kiss the frog.
We don't want to give it away.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
We don't want to give it away. No, no, no.
Okay, if you don't want to hear it, like, fast forward 10 seconds, because I'm going to say, like, you gotta kiss the frog to get the prince, sort of. And that was so cute. Because he was such a cutie.
Yeah.
He just had the most adorable face and such cute eyes and stuff. And it was, well, the ending is sort of like almost a fairy tale story or whatever.
Yeah.
But it fits just fine, and it gave it a happy ending, which is very Hollywood-esque. But yeah, I loved it. It was a really good movie. It made you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was dramatic. It was funny. It was funny in a weird way, like sarcastic, ironic sense of humor, especially with Frances McDormand. She just like runs into that glass wall. She goes on a rampage about a minor thing, like going shopping and someone...
You've already mentioned this.
We already mentioned this?
Yeah.
No, we didn't mention that someone cut in line or something.
Yeah, but you mentioned the shopping center where she ran into the glass.
Yeah, that's true. But that's a good scene. I can't mention it often enough. Anyway, yeah, so overall, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved it, and it's not the kind of thing you should see at the movies.
Yeah, wait till it's on DVD.
Yeah, so it's a DVD movie, like, no big visual special effects or whatever. It's a character film.
Absolutely.
So you can go check it out at the movies, which you probably have by now, but yeah, it's enough on DVD.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. It was nice.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then
we went and saw
The Ant-Bully.
We've been waiting for this for a while.
Pretty much.
We were really bummed that we couldn't go see this on a Tuesday night.
But
because we really didn't want to pay
$14, $15.
But we had to go see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so last weekend we went and saw it. And we paid the full price that you have to pay. Because we really wanted to see this movie. And I'm glad we did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was great.
I think it was a really good film. Like, it was better than some of the animations that seem to be coming out lately.
Like what?
Well, like, I don't know. I didn't really like Over the Hedge.
So. Oh, I haven't even seen that, see?
Yeah.
Like, the last couple of animation films, like Cars, even though I love Pixar, yeah. I haven't seen Cars.
Cars is good.
Over the Hedge didn't do anything for me. Like, I haven't seen it, but just the trailer, I was like, well, I can check it out on DVD.
Yeah.
The same with The Wild, I think, is coming out here now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't interest me at all. The last animation film I've seen at the movies, I think, was Madagascar.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That was okay. It was a spectacular, it wasn't shit, but it was just okay.
Yeah, well...
But this one...
The Amboy was kind of like, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but not quite like that.
Yeah.
It was about this young boy who was being bullied by some kids from school, or some kids from his neighborhood.
Yeah, what was it? The veggie thingy?
Yeah, I don't know, I can't remember. And because, you know, he was being bullied, the boy decided he was going to bully something that was smaller than him.
Yeah, well, the whole tagline was like, what you gonna do? Yeah. I'm bigger than you.
And so he decided to bully this ant's nest. And so you see what it's like to be an ant from the ant's perspective, which kind of bears into mind, like, ants and, you know, a bug's life.
Yeah, the animation looked really similar to ants.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was much, much better than that.
Well, yeah. And there was, like, this whole supernatural element, and the cast of the voices was really cool.
Oh, yeah! We didn't even know about this.
No. We didn't even know who was voicing half the characters until we actually got in there. We go, oh my god, that's Paul Giamatti! Oh my god, that's Julia Roberts! Oh my god, that's Nicolas Cage!
Yeah, let's not forget Nicolas Cage.
And oh my god, Meryl Streep, you know, and
yeah, Meryl Streep as the queen, you know.
And then Bruce Campbell was in it, one of the voices.
Yeah, and the funny guy, of course.
He was so good.
Oh, he was cute, yeah.
But yeah, no, the animation was awesome.
Mm.
The storyline was a bit, well, you know, predictable.
It was predictable. It was your typical children's movie storyline.
Yeah,
with an edge, but it was sort of. It's a good entertainment film for children and for adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. There were some adult jokes in there as much as there were kids' jokes.
Yeah.
We found ourselves laughing
a lot. Oh my god, it was really funny. Like, adults can go in there and have a lot of fun. You can take your kids and they will have a lot of fun. You will have fun on a different level, but it's entertaining for the whole family. It's absolutely really great.
Yeah.
And of course it has, like with all children's films, certain messages.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For kids. You know, you've got the whole moral thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's basically like the whole Honey, We Shrunk the Kids thing is like Lucas, the actual ant bully, gets shrunk to ant size.
Yeah, by one of the ants magicians.
Who's voiced by Nicolas Cage. Oh, he's amazing in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. He's like a Harry Potter ant. He's like a sorcerer.
Yeah, and the visual effects surrounding his character is like,
oh,
yeah, that's so
awesome.
Cool.
Oh, he has this little, like, glowy bug.
Yeah,
he's so cute. He always goes, me, me, me. Hey, I need light.
There were some really, really funny moments in this film. There was this one moment where they're walking through the, I don't know, was the grass? I think it was the grass.
When what happened?
When the, okay, they were walking
through. Oh, yeah, the little tiny bug.
Yeah, they're walking through the grass.
Yeah.
And Hova, one of the ants, played by
voiced
by Julia Roberts.
Yeah, she unfortunately didn't do a good job.
No.
It was okay, but well.
She was telling little Lucas, you know, not to go where the sun rays were hitting the ground because, you know, it's dangerous.
Oh, there were shards of glass.
Yeah, because there were shards of glass.
We all know what that does to.
And so, you know, they're all dodging the rays of sun and the glass and all that kind of stuff. And then later on you see why. And this little tiny bug comes up, walks into the sunlight and just goes,
poof. Yeah. It was just walking randomly, going, no, I'm just on my Sunday walk, oh, nice shiny light, boom. And then it was dust. Or smoke or whatever.
So funny. Anything that blows up I kind of laugh at.
Yeah, it was funny, eh?
I have a thing with, you know, blowing things that blow up.
Well, you're very destructive.
Yeah, well, you know. It's like this dynamite scene.
You're such a pyrotechnician or something. I want to blow shit up.
There was this dynamite scene, right? And like, you know, there's giant battle going on between these flying bugs and the ants. And Lucas sees this little tiny, like,
It was what was it?
A little dynamite stick.
No, it's one of those things that kids like use for New Year's. What is that?
Oh, it's like a firecracker.
It was like a firecracker. Yeah.
And so you're down on the ground, you're watching this massive battle, it's kind of like Starship Troopers-like.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
With all these kind of bugs and stuff.
Flying bugs.
And then Lucas gets this little firecracker and manages to light it.
And yeah, that's what, where the glass comes in handy.
And it explodes, but instead of seeing the explosion from the perspective of Lucas, it goes out of the perspective of Lucas in his little bite-sized size up to, you know, normal human size. And it's just this little tiny, tiny little
poof. Then you see somewhere in the grass going poof, and that's it. It's this gigantic battle. The sound design is amazing.
To show you that no matter how small something is, there's always something huge going on.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, you know, you've got these ants and their civilization, but you would never know what was going on. Because unless you were their size, unless you were in their world, you would have no idea. And that's
yeah, and the way it was done in the movie, edited and stuff, it was great. Yeah. You have this battle going on, there's a lot of sort of like Star Wars, like it was huge and it was loud and whatever, and then just when the damn cracker was supposed to explode and you were getting ready for a gigantic kaboom,
you just get it gets this little
cut to human size, and then you see the grass and it just goes poof.
It goes poof.
It was hilarious. Everyone was laughing their asses off in the movie theater. Oh, it was great.
Yeah. But no, it was a really good film.
Hey, speaking of the battles, let's not forget the gigantic air battle at the end.
Oh, yeah. Like when they're fighting off Paul Giamatti, who plays the Exterminator.
That was amazing. Like, we read that Paul Giamatti was in there, and we were like, who's he going to play? And then the Exterminator comes in, he's this creepy guy that makes Lucas, when he's still a human, makes him sign an exterminating contract, which is probably not legal anyway, but who gives a shit?
Yeah, it was so funny.
And then Lucas tries to call him off, and it doesn't work, and Lucas is ant-sized, and then the Exterminator comes in, and the dusts of toxic whatever it is, and everyone is fleeing from it, and then they have this gigantic air battle where all the insects, even though they hated each other before, they come together. It's sort of like Independence Day for ants and all kinds of insects, and it's the ants on top of, what is it, hornets or whatever?
I think they're hornets or flies or something like
and
that.
And they're flying this gigantic air battle against the Godzilla-like exterminator. And it was just amazing the way it was done. It was a great air battle, like a Star Wars space battle or whatever.
That was the overall finale.
That was really good.
Yeah,
and that was also funny the way they defeated him, like how they did it. And it's just, I mean, what can you do? Like blow his face up or whatever? So they just. Well, we're not going to give it away, but it's done in a very funny and humorous way.
Yeah.
And actually, thinking of that battle, the beetle from the trailer
is
in it as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for everyone who's seen the trailer, there's this gigantic beetle that wants to be an ant, and he's auditioning to be an ant in the trailer and doesn't get the part. And he's actually in the movie later on as a comic relief,
even though
it's funny before he comes in, but he's really hilarious. And Lucas gets swallowed by a frog.
Yeah.
And it could have been really, like, claustrophobic and scary and whatever. But the frog tummy council that they have, like, there are several bugs in the frog's tummy about to be digested. And they're just swimming in this stomach acid. Really gross. And then Lucas falls in there. And then this big, gigantic beetle, he's just having the time of his life.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
hey.
He's so enthusiastic. Oh, my God, I'm stuck in hell. But no.
Yeah, exactly.
You get this little
sarcastic. We have a new guy. Who is you?
He's a sarcastic bug going, oh, no, what again?
Oh, he's a glowworm.
Yeah, the glowworm.
The big, fat glowworm.
Oh, what's the point? I'm going to die in 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah, he's so sad.
And then he got the flies going, get me out of here, get me out of here. I want to get out of here. And he gets out eventually, and then he gets swallowed again. It was really funny.
But the big beetle, he just hardly managed to be in this frog's tummy.
He's like, oh my god, yes, another person in this.
Let's play a game. Who are you?
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then the other bug falls in and goes, oh, another one. Who are you? What are you doing? I've been in here for 2 days. And it was really funny. And then later, of course, they have to get out of the frog's tummy.
Yeah.
And the weird fly thing goes like, oh yeah, I'm free. And then another frog goes, yes. Running in. That was hilarious.
But like the animation in this was really awesome. I reckon go see it, definitely
go see it. I would even go and see it on the big screen. Oh yeah, like, absolutely. It's not, I mean, you can watch it on DVD, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, but you need the big screen experience, especially for all those battle sequences that are involved.
Yeah, it's so. Just the way it was done, and the whole ant world and stuff, and Meryl Streep as the ant queen, and I also loved the scene when they went like into Lucas's house when they were ants, and just seeing a human's house from an ant's perspective. Yeah. Like, they had this weird carpet. What was it? It was not normal carpet. It was this weird high carpet.
I don't know.
So there was no. It would have taken them days just to crawl through the carpet because it was really thick.
So they climb aboard some rose petals and fly.
Yeah, because there was this fan going on. Yeah. Oh, speaking of fans, you know, we should definitely talk about the grandma. Who was voicing her? Was that Lily Tomlin?
Lily Tomlin played the grandma. She was awesome.
Lucas's grandma. She was.
She's, oh my god, aliens! Aliens are everywhere!
She's a nutcase. She thinks she's gonna. There are aliens everywhere. There's aliens abducting her. And so her whole room is like a huge booby trap.
Yeah.
And she's fighting off invisible aliens with a fan.
And her teeth keep falling out.
And yeah, and always her teeth fall out. And Lucas's sister and him is always like, no, it's your turn. No, it's your turn! Yeah. It's just, she's hilarious. Yeah, and she actually sees the little tiny ant Lucas being abducted by the ants, and no one believes her because she's a lunatic. She's just hilarious.
Definitely a good
movie. Was very funny. Yeah. It is huge, great entertainment for grown-ups, for kids. And you don't have to worry that it's going to be too violent or something if you take your kids. Because it really is not, even though there's battle scenes in it.
Yeah.
But it's done in a very childlike way, so it's a very good film where you can just sit your kids in front of the telly and let them watch it, and you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really good.
Mm.
I didn't check who did the animation.
Oh, I'm not sure. We'll check and we'll put it on the blog.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, speaking of that we always have to like put stuff, like we're talking about stuff where we didn't research it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like we brought up this guy last podcast. Who was playing Macduff
from the Macbeth movie. We found out who it was, and if any one of you remembers the character Sparks from the Matrix Revolutions and Matrix Reloaded, he was the Niobe's pilot.
Man, you actually have that in your memory banks. I was like browsing through 5,000 letters. And I was like, we wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah, no.
And
no,
you
no.
just come up with it from the.
Well, his name is Leahy Hume or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, he was Niobe's pilot in the Matrix sequels, and so he played Macduff for those.
Yeah, but I don't remember because he looks so different in Matrix.
Yeah, well, see, in the Matrix he doesn't have a beard, but in Macbeth he does, and he's actually like put on weight in that movie as well.
Yeah, because when I saw him in Macbeth, I was like, because he has reddish hair, full hair, full beard, and I was like, I know this guy, exactly the way he looked there.
Yeah.
But in the Matrix, he looks different. And we checked him on IMDb, and we just couldn't find any other films that he's done that I would know him from.
No.
So I have no idea where this guy comes from.
Yeah, maybe you're thinking of someone else.
Maybe. But he did a good job as Macbeth.
Yeah.
And because we were talking about the amazing visuals of Macbeth.
Yeah, we thought we might give you the name of the cinematographer.
Yeah, and the cinematographer, he's actually, like, not really a new guy, but he doesn't have a huge list on IMDb.
No.
He's just done Macbeth, and the other most notable one is Wolf Creek. Which I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? It's an Australian movie as well, isn't it?
Yeah. It's supposed to be very, very violent, and you know what, it's not really that violent. But yeah, go check Wolf Creek out as well.
Everyone's like, wow, Wolf Creek, you have to see it. And I was like, well, I'm not so sure.
It's not the greatest movie in the world, but the visuals are great, so you know, it's definitely worth checking out.
Well, he's a great cinematographer, absolutely. So I hope that he's going to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Maybe not just Australian films.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, because the visuals were amazing.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about last week as well, Lady in the Water, I was going nuts about those two Asian chicks.
We thought we might give you their names as well.
Exactly. So the young Asian chick, her name is Cindy Cheung.
Yeah.
And she's Miss Guest Star on a lot of things.
Yeah. Right? So was her mom, actually, and her lady who played the mom.
Yeah. Her name was, Mrs. Oh, you didn't write the name, though. It says Mrs. Choi from Lady in the Water.
All right.
Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. She's done. Her IMDb list is gigantic. She's been in MASH. She's been in Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm.
And most notably for me, because I'm a huge fan of the show, she was in Gilmore Girls. She played Lane Kim's grandmother.
Yeah.
And hey, I don't remember a lot from Gilmore Girls, but I remember that Mrs. Kim was afraid as hell of her mother-in-law, I think. Yeah. So if Mrs. Kim is afraid of that chick, you better be afraid of her. So yeah, she was amazing. That was just a shout out from the stuff that we were talking about last time.
Before we move on to the last film that we saw.
Yeah, which is of the three, the most notable one.
Yeah, the most notable, the most controversial, the most talked about, the blah blah.
Especially the one that surprised me the most.
Absolutely.
In a positive way.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the World Trade Center by Oliver Stone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wasn't really sure whether we should see it because we had one of those days again on Tuesday. It's like, I need a comedy.
Yeah, we were both not feeling too great and we wanted a comedy, but we were determined to go see this movie, so we went and saw it.
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there are problems with it.
Oh, God, yeah.
There are two gigantic problems with it.
Yeah.
But overall, maybe because our expectations...
I'm Jesus, he's a water bomb.
Oh my God, yeah. It's like, well, overall, it's... Even though it's about 9/11, it's basically just about two policemen.
Yeah, and the survival of two policemen.
Yeah, the surviving of two policemen who get stuck in a World Trade Center and get rescued.
Yeah.
And it's about them and their families, how it affects them.
Yeah.
And that is one of the problems I have with the film, that
it doesn't show anything else.
I didn't mind that because you can't show all of it.
Yeah.
There was so much going on, but... What I didn't like about it is that both of them survived.
Yeah. But that's the true story, though.
It is the true story, but then I would have shown, or I would have told another story as well of someone who doesn't survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because so many people died there, and it doesn't seem fair to just tell a survivor story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I mean, at the end of the film, there's a really heart-wrenching scene with this black lady.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. Sorry, I mean African-American lady. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that in a derogatory sense. Is that the right word, derogatory?
Yeah.
Who says that basically her son died, or is presumably dead.
Yeah.
And she's trying
to cope with that.
And she still has the hopes that he might be pulled out of the rubble.
She's regretting, it's the cliché kind of story where she's regretting, you know, yelling at him at the last moment and all that kind of stuff, and you know, not saying goodbye and all that, which is cliched, but in a way I'm sure there were one or two people, or if not more, that had that similar situation.
Well, definitely. I mean, come on, how often, if you think about it, but like, you say goodbye to your loved one in the morning, or maybe you don't say goodbye, just when they go to work, you don't expect something major to happen to them.
Yeah.
So sometimes you go like, oh, you stupid fuckwit, just get out of my life.
You find yourself appreciating life a lot more, and I thought that was one of the biggest messages in World Trade Center, was that you should, you know, appreciate your life.
Definitely, because it could be over every day.
Absolutely.
And like, if you part with someone you care about
in
a negative way, you never know, it might be over, it might have been the last time you talked to that person. And we never think about that because, well, we're hopeful people, so we don't try to think about
that.
But I remember that some people were saying that it's too cliche and too Hollywood-esque, that it's not depicting it in a realistic way. But I actually think that that is a very realistic way, because a lot of people part like this.
But how... This is the thing. How do you show something that horrific, that, you know, profound, that impacted on the entire world in a realistic way?
No, I mean, it's like on the emotional level.
Oh, on the emotional level.
Yeah, because a lot of people are like, of course there's this woman who had a run-in with her son, and then he died. And calling it cliche, or just that they put it in for dramatic purposes or whatever. Mm. But I think that it's not unrealistic. No. Quite the opposite. I think it is very realistic, because that happens not just in such huge atrocities like what happened on 9/11. Exactly. Like, people go, like, they part like this. There are people like this every day, and then
some or one of them dies in a car accident.
Yeah,
no one knows about
yeah,
this,
absolutely.
But it happens a lot, and I
yeah.
think it is very realistic depicted like that.
Yeah, and even like a lot of people bag out the conversations that were going on between Nicolas Cage's character and
Michael Pena.
Michael Pena's character, who were the two policemen trapped. And, you know, a lot of criticism is against what they were talking about, saying it was unrealistic, they
yeah.
wouldn't talk about it, it was very cheesy, it was cliché, but,
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Well, except for, well...
Except for the Jesus thing, but that
yeah,
was just stupid.
That, I think that was stupid because of the visualization that
yeah.
Oliver Stone chose
yeah,
to put in.
If Michael Pena's character falls into a little bit of unconsciousness, and then all of a sudden you get this beautiful sunset shot with this white iconic image of maybe he's going into heaven, so the white light's coming towards him. I thought it was going to be his wife at first.
Yeah.
I thought his wife was
or
going to emerge
for the, yeah.
from the whiteness or his kid and tell, you know, give him a bit of a message. That would have been cliche, but it would have been better than seeing the iconic image of Jesus Christ emerging from the white light.
And having a water bottle with him.
Oh, yeah,
well,
he had a
like
water bottle.
Like, it was the Jesus Christ water cellar.
It was just hilarious. It was so stupid. It completely ruined the film.
Yeah, because it totally brought you out of the moment.
Yeah,
it was bad. I mean, they've been in there for several hours. They were thirsty as hell.
Mm.
All they could think about was, I need water. So I can understand why he was thinking of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, it is realistic that he has hallucinations about it. It's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
I don't like the visualization that Oliver Stone put
no,
in there because it was
not.
Fucking
so
stupid.
Dumb.
It was like a promo ad for Christianity or something. Jesus
so
is
dumb.
With you. He even brings you water when you need it. It
so
was
dumb.
It was really bad. It was like for people that have seen Kevin Smith's Dogma, I was expecting Buddy Christ showing
yeah,
up with a water
go,
bottle.
Hey.
yeah, and
so
I spiced
stupid.
It up for you a little.
So
no, it was
stupid.
Really bad. So that was the first major thing that I really hated about this movie. And I think it's pretty much the only thing I hate.
Yeah.
I mean, the other gripe I have with it is that they only show survivor stories and not someone who also died.
Yeah. As a sound person, I thought the sound design was awesome.
Oh my god, the sound design was amazing. The music.
Yeah.
You really felt like... I mean, what I loved about this film was you didn't see the major events happening, really. You just saw everything out of... the perspective of those two guys.
Absolutely.
Like, they were in the lobby of, was it Tower 1 or 2?
I
think it
was
Tower
2.
Was it?
Tower 2? I don't know.
Well, they were in one of the towers. And we all know that Tower 1 collapsed and then Tower 2 collapsed or whatever. And they were in the lobby and then all of a sudden the glass started breaking and shit and you knew that one of the towers was collapsing.
Yeah, and...
And you didn't see it from the outside.
No,
all you
not.
Saw is that they were in the lobby and they were just alive.
Yeah.
And so this tower collapses and buries them in the elevator shaft, which is why they actually survived, because they ran into the elevator shaft.
Yeah.
And then basically all you see is those two guys among the rubble, they can't move, and they are stuck there for, what, 24 hours or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And
yeah.
in there, you actually get to sort of see that the second tower also collapses, that the next building... whatever building it was, also collapses, because all of this affects them in there, of course, because they're so close to it.
Absolutely.
And you never see it from an external point of view. You never really see the tower collapse.
No.
And
only in the archive footage that they show.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about the film, that he didn't want to re-show of what everyone has basically seen live on CNN at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all he used, it was sort of like Titanic. It was half a documentary and half a movie.
Yeah.
And he used a lot of archive footage.
Mm.
And the way it was built up, the whole film.
Mm.
The way he starts showing New York City, everyone going to work, like it's a normal day.
Cinematography was awesome.
Because it was a normal day. And cinematography is amazing.
Mm.
Like, they've used archive footage. They used matte paintings to put the World Trade Center back in and stuff. And it is just... New York City before the planes crashed, it is beautiful, which gives a great juxtaposition to what it looks like later.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was just visually an amazing film, and emotionally as well. It was not like, it wasn't a tearjerker.
No.
I didn't have to, even though I cried at several times, but,
well,
yeah, I'm a sissy. I cried when I watched the trailer.
Yeah,
because
and apparently I'm cold
music.
Hearted because I don't cry in movies.
Yeah, you didn't cry, but you got teary-eyed, didn't you?
No, not really.
Really?
I'm a little, it was sad, but it wasn't sad enough for me to get.
Yeah, but you hardly cry anyway.
Yeah, I'm a heartless bitch.
You didn't even cry in Finding Neverland.
I'm a heartless bitch, what can I say?
No, you're not a heartless bitch, I've seen you cry.
No, I'm sure.
No, but it's really a good movie, it's well-rounded, the cast is amazing. Yeah. Like, someone commented on Nicolas Cage being a too well-known actor, which is sort of like ripping you out of the whole story and what's happening, and I'm like,
Nicolas Cage was awesome in
it. He was awesome in it, and I, yes, it's Nicolas Cage, but that doesn't mean that I can't see him playing someone like this or whatever. He was doing an amazing job. I've never seen him in a movie looking the way he did in this movie.
Absolutely.
And Michael Pena is gonna be one of the actors that I'm gonna put on my must watch list.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in Crash last year, and I loved him there.
Mm.
And now in World Trade Center, he did an amazing job.
Mm.
And for all those people that say that World Trade Center is a flag-waving propaganda material for George Bush, I don't get it. Mm. I mean, I'm not a George Bush fan. Well, I could recite something I said during the movie when George Bush was on screen.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
No, I said, motherfucker!
And it was dead quiet.
Yeah. I don't care. It's like, he is a motherfucker. But I don't get it what people say when they say it is George Bush propaganda or it's a flag waving or whatever, because I didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
It was not about it being about America.
Independence Day was more flag waving.
Exactly. It was more about these people, because that could have been a city in Britain. It could have been a city somewhere in Europe, somewhere in the US, somewhere hell knows where.
Yeah.
It was not very Americanized.
No.
I didn't have the feeling at all. I really, really loved this movie.
We definitely recommend
it. I would recommend it, and you have to see it on the big screen.
Absolutely.
There are some amazing visuals, and films, like, visuals that just chill you to the bone.
Yeah, well,
it's like, what, shortly before the first plane crashes into the World Trade Center, all you see is the shadow of a gigantic plane flying across the side of a house.
Which you can see in the trailer.
Yeah, it's in the trailer as well. And it is a stunning visual, and it just chills you to the bone because you know what happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think this is also why the movie works on different levels, because everyone knows what happened.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to see the towers collapse from the outside, because everyone has seen that.
Yeah.
So he sort of gives you a different perspective on the things that we have seen over and over and over again on the news.
Absolutely.
And the way it's done, it's just very, very chilling. And the funny thing, or the ironic thing, actually, about those two policemen that get trapped is that they never even got the chance to save anyone.
No.
They were just about to go up there to save people when the tower collapsed and trapped them.
Yeah, and then they ended up being the ones and then, being saved.
Exactly. The only thing that is sort of flag-waving in the film is the Marine.
Yeah.
The Marine that came in. He has some idiotic dialogue.
Oh, fuck yeah. You just want to slap him once.
You just want to go like, hey, we're the Marines and we're here to rescue you. We're not going to leave you. We never leave a man behind. America,
fuck yeah. Oh, shit, shut like that. Up. So, that was flag-waving.
Yeah, but it was so cheesy, cliche, and flag-waving that I actually thought Oliver Stone was... like,
on drugs?
No, I thought that he was actually trying to show how idiotic that is.
Yeah.
That he did it on purpose. That he overdid it on purpose.
Yeah, because it was sounded overdone and it sounded over the top. And
yeah.
I thought and that was on purpose.
The last time you see the Marine after he helped save those guys, or he found them or whatever, is like, now I'm going to go avenge this motherfucker or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like... are you shitting me? Especially now seeing it after we all know what happened in Iraq and stuff.
Mm.
It is just ironic showing something like this. That's why I never really thought it was flag waving. I thought it was criticizing.
Yeah, it was so stupid.
Yeah, that's how I interpreted it.
Mm.
And I don't know Oliver Stone that well. I mean, I know his movies and stuff.
And Alexander sucked.
Yeah, oh my god. So Alexander was his shit movie, just like Scorsese with Gangs of New York. But now he's back, and I think he's done a really good movie with
World
Trade Center.
Absolutely.
It has great visuals, it has good acting, it has a nice story that is not too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, given the subject, I thought, I'm gonna go in there, and I have to cry every 5 minutes, because they're gonna use the music to make me cry, and then they're gonna use the dialogue to make me cry, and whatever. By the way, the music's really good.
Yeah.
It's by this guy who did more... Yeah, he... Craig Armstrong, who did Moulin Rouge
and stuff. Romeo and Juliet, and a few others like Ray.
Yeah, so the music's amazing. Mm. Get the soundtrack. And overall,
it was a great movie.
Go see it. Go see it on the big screen.
Definitely.
I'm going to put it on my must-have-it on DVD list.
Absolutely.
It is a great documentary movie thingy. Mm-hmm. It's half documentary, half entertainment.
More entertainment than it is.
Yeah, but like the first 30 minutes, you get a lot of archive footage and stuff. So it's sort of like Titanic that blends sort of a documentary with a story or something. So yeah, the only thing we didn't like was the Buddy Jesus selling water.
Hmm.
And people that don't like the cheesy, cliché-ish stuff that the characters are talking about while they're trapped in there. Like, oh my god, my wife's going to kick my ass because I didn't finish the kitchen.
Mm.
I actually think that that is something that people would actually talk about.
Absolutely.
Because it's trivial.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest shit, I think, comes into your head when you're faced with death. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it was bad. I would actually say that that was a good choice of dialogue.
Yeah.
And overall, a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the reviews, I thought it would suck. It would be very patriotic and shit, but it wasn't.
No.
You don't really get the feeling that it was an American New York film. You get the feeling it was just a film about a city, about cops, about people that are going through a catastrophe.
Absolutely.
And it is very well acted. It has great moments. Mm-hmm. So go out and see it. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
So that was World Trade Center.
Yep.
That was actually the three movies we wanted to talk about.
Absolutely. And look, we're almost at 50 minutes.
Oh my god, yeah. Three quarters of an hour already.
Yeah, I think we talk too much.
Okay, yeah. Well, we have to talk a lot about World Trade Center, goddammit. Oh, talking of World Trade Center, that African-American lady at the end, her name's Viola Davis, did a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So, we have to go to the feedback that we got.
Yeah, we got a little bit of feedback. Not a lot, but we got enough.
Yeah, so the first one to write in was Oliver from Germany. And unfortunately, he wrote in German, so I'm going to translate it. He said that he really thought that the podcast was entertaining, but he didn't like that we were talking about snakes on a plane so much. Mm. He wanted us to talk more about Thank You for Smoking, which is also a really good film, and we highly recommend that one, but somehow we just got hold up on Snakes on a Plane a lot.
Yeah, because, you know, we really like Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, Snakes on a Plane rocks. So I'm sorry, Oliver, about that. It won't happen again, because we are not going to talk about Snakes on a Plane again, I guess. Unless it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're talking about Snakes on a Plane right now, and, you know, motherfucking snakes, and we're going to start talking about Snakes on a Plane again then.
Exactly. And he actually also recommended a movie to us. The movie's name is Crank. C-R-A-N-K. That I've never heard of before.
No, we're gonna check it out and see what it's like.
Yeah, so it's on our list. And we were asking about what the best movies of the year are for you. And he said, well, popcorn movies would be Ice Age 2 and Pirates of the Caribbean 2. And when it comes to the artsy-fartsy ones, it's definitely Hard Candy.
Hard Candy.
And we are so saying the same thing.
Yeah, Hard Candy.
Hard Candy rocks.
Yeah, absolutely. And, great movie.
Pirates of the Caribbean and Ice Age 2, I love those. Mm. They're on my must-get-them-on DVD list as well. I mean, what can I say, people? It's great.
Yep, absolutely.
And given Pirates of the Caribbean, we got a really gigantically huge email from Tiffany from Indiana. Who we
Hey Tiff,
how you doing? We really love chatting to you. It was amazing. So I don't know what you chatted to Kat about today, because I was like still asleep because I'm a lazy ass.
Hope you did well on those articles.
So she wrote us an email about phobias and how that is portrayed in movies and stuff. Yeah. That was really interesting. She gave us some famous phobics like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
So that was really.
If you've got a movie. Actually, we should do this. If you've got a favorite movie that dealt with a certain type of phobia, you know, let us know what it was and, you know, what was the phobia and...
Yeah, like arachnophobia. I've never managed to see this movie in its entirety.
No, never?
I've seen like the first 10 minutes, the first 20 minutes, first 30 minutes, and then there are too many spiders, and because they're realistic spiders, it creeps
me out.
Yeah,
she
it's like, out. I couldn't even, like... Harry Potter 2, I think it was, when the spiders came up, and the sound design was so horrific that I really had to put up my legs on my chair, because I couldn't handle it. I was like, oh my god, there's going to be a spider running over my foot. And I have these weird phobias of bugs and spiders.
Well, she does. It's really bad.
There was a cockroach here yesterday. You had to kill it because I was like, ah, cockroach cat!
Yeah, so I'm a cockroach killer.
Yeah, so you had to kill it.
Yeah.
So yeah, she told us about a couple of movies, so that was very interesting. Thank you for that, Tiffany.
Yeah, thanks, Tiffany.
And she emailed us with her best of lists, which is really funny because she just couldn't come up with one list, so she gave us four.
Mm.
So she had Wicked Good, which is Brokeback Mountain, where I have to highly disagree.
Yeah, I disagree. Sorry.
Because I know that a lot of people like this film, but I thought it was very boring.
Mm.
And, well, maybe it wasn't boring. And I know that we're going on an hour here, Kat. Don't point to the clock all the time.
I wasn't pointing to the clock. I was just looking at it.
I know, but you're making me nervous.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry, but I don't like Brokeback Mountain. Probably because it was promoted as the movie. And then I went to see it.
I was boring.
And I thought it was lengthy.
It was boring.
And somehow I just couldn't sympathize with the people a lot. I don't know why, because I usually can sympathize with a serial killer.
Mm.
But
hey, so can I.
See, maybe we're just fucked.
Yeah.
But I know everyone seems to love Brokeback Mountain, and one of the podcasts we listen to, the Planet Podcast.
Yeah.
The chicks in there go like one of them cried so hard that she fell down the stairs when she watched Brokeback Mountain.
That is a I just agree with that one.
I'm a very emotional person, but somehow that just didn't work for me. So sorry about that. The next one in Wicked Good is Transamerica, and I'm so there with you.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
You see, I wanted to make you watch it.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get around to seeing it.
That was Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, that I watched Desperate Housewives.
See? Very big mistake. But she's done an amazing job in there. She was nominated for an Oscar. She didn't win, unfortunately. Mm. Lost that to Reese Witherspoon. Mm. I would have given it to Felicity Huffman. It was an amazing movie. So Transamerica, people. Then Thank You for Smoking, we were talking about that. Great movie. V for Vendetta.
Awesome
amazing
movie.
Hey, Natalie Portman with short hair. I mean, she shaved off her hair, but for the press conference, she had this short hair.
Hot.
She's so hot all of a sudden. I mean, not that she was ever, like, ugly or something, but now she's... Ah, call me, Natalie, call me.
Yeah, Natalie, my number is Nam Kat.
No, that's my number. No, call me, not Kat. Call me, Mel, not Kat.
Okay,
next one is Lucky Number 11, which we haven't seen yet because it's out, what, in 4 weeks or something?
I think so. Something
called The Wrong Man here in Australia. Hard Candy, absolutely. And the last one on the Wicked Good list is Little Miss Sunshine.
Which we are seeing on Tuesday.
Yes, it just got out here and we can't wait to see it. The trailer looks amazing.
Mm, absolutely.
And then she has a Wicked Fun list.
Yeah.
Where she has Underworld Evolution on it. Which I haven't seen it yet.
Which is great. I really liked Underworld Evolution.
See, I didn't like the first one that much, so I didn't bother seeing the second. But you have both of them on DVD, so I'm going to get them off you. Tamara, which is something I wanted to get when I was still in Germany because it was out on DVD there.
Never heard of it.
Take the Lead. I think that's the one with Antonio Banderas, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Much of a dancing.
I didn't really want to see that. Well, I like Save the Last Dance.
Oh, okay. I've never seen
but
it. But then again, I've never seen Dirty Dancing either.
Yeah, that's just something I don't get. How can you not ever have seen Dirty Dancing?
I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
The next one is Stick It.
Which is alright, that movie.
Which one is Stick It?
I think that's the gymnastic movie. The one where the, I think that's a gymnastic movie.
Ah, I was thinking of Step Up, which is the Save the Left Hand copy.
Yuck.
Ew, no.
Stick It was actually kind of good. I went and saw that with a couple of friends.
Alright. And the next one on the Wicked Funness is X-Men The Last Stand. And here I have to go...
Yeah, we weren't fans of X-Men.
Please. Oh no, we went out of the movie and we were like, what a shite movie. Yeah, well, this movie just sucked major ass.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it at all.
While we were watching it, we hated it. When we went out, we hated it. We stayed till after the credits because there was something happening. And we were like, you gotta be kidding.
That was so dumb.
Yeah.
It was so stupid. They completely ruined Dark Phoenix. And Franka Jensen is so hot in this movie.
Oh my god. Well, she looks hot. She never gets anything to do. She's just standing there looking pretty.
Yeah, I know. Completely ruined it.
It was a waste. So
anyway, moving on from the atrocity that he's
by the way, I told you that I'm gonna wait, like, till it's out on DVD, and I hope for director's cut or something, because Brad Ratner apparently got rushed or whatever.
No, but there is no director's cut.
Exactly. I've seen what's out on DVD.
Deleted scenes.
There are a couple of deleted scenes that run, like, what, 20 minutes or something?
Mm.
And that's it.
And choose your own ending, basically. You get three options of endings.
Great. So, yeah, they just fucked up X-Men, and I loved X-Men. And apparently there's a rumor that they're going to do a fourth one. So, I'm like, hopefully different director or different writer or whatever, because X-Men 3, I know a lot of people love it, actually. I always get in a huge battle with people when I say I hate it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I really... wish that I could like it because I want to like it, but I just hate it.
Fans of the first two.
Yeah.
Then the next one on her Wicked Fun list is something that I love. We both love. A lot of people love.
We've seen it, what, 5, 6 times at the cinema?
How often did we see it?
We've seen it so many times.
Really? I lost track.
Yes.
We're talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, the second one. I mean, Jack Sparrow is back, and we have Davy Jones, and a lot of crap's happening, and the Kraken. And yeah, it's amazing. And for all the people out there who didn't get the parallels to Star Wars, how could you not get it? I'm talking to people about, oh my god, so many Star Wars parallels, and they go like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, well, maybe we should post that on the blog.
Maybe.
Star Wars parallels. Or maybe a separate episode of the Star Wars parallels.
We will post those parallels as soon as we get the DVD.
Absolutely, we'll do our own.
Oh, we're going to do a commentary on Pirates of the Caribbean that ends chess. Definitely. So yeah, that was a really good movie. It's on my best movies of the year list.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great. I can't wait for the third one.
Yeah.
This movie's even better than the first one.
Absolutely.
It was awesome.
Okay, the next movie on the list was Clerks 2, which we both agree.
And well, everyone knows we love it because we talked about it.
And then Snakes on the Plane was another one.
And Snakes on the Plane, yeah. Oh yeah, she loved it. Yeah, she actually wrote in something like, I loved your podcast, and I can't believe how much I agree with you on the movies you reviewed, or something like that. So we were like, oh, awesome!
Okay, that's right. So I wonder what you'll think about our latest review.
Yeah, exactly. So let us know, too, if we love chatting to you. So email us in with all the kind of crap that's coming into your head.
Definitely.
So then she has, of course, the bad list as well. Mm. There's a Wicked Bad, which has Casanova on it. Yeah. It was okay, but well... But then she put Final Destination 3 on it, where I highly disagree. But then she wrote, it was a great comedy, though.
It was so funny.
And I agree. The movie is stupid, but it was funny as hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then we have Basic Instinct 2, which I didn't even bother to go see.
No, me either.
No. And The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Tiff?
We both...
Didn't you see the trailer for this?
Why did you go see it?
I couldn't even stand seeing the trailer. It's like Step Up. I can't even stand seeing the trailer. I
couldn't even stand the second film.
You actually paid for this? Mm. Why did you pay for it? You were probably like, your girlfriend was like, I want to see this. It's about cars. It's about cute guys, even though I didn't see a cute guy in the trailer.
Or not.
And she pointed a gun at your head, and that's how you went to see it, didn't you?
Yeah.
So let us know about this. Hostage situations, we're here to rescue you.
Absolutely.
We're like the US Marines.
Yes.
We don't leave a man or a girl behind. Okay, the next one on this Wicked Bad list is The Devil Wears Prada.
Which we haven't seen. No. Don't really want to see.
I don't want to see this, even though it has Meryl Streep in it. Mm. But then she put Hollywoodland on it. Which, granted, we haven't seen it yet, but I've only heard good stuff about it.
Yeah.
One of my friends, Peter, he actually said that Ben Affleck won an acting award for this.
Yeah, he won an acting award
at the Venice Film Festival or something.
Yeah, I don't know where it was. But yeah.
But yeah, and then she put the Black Dahlia on it, even though she said Mia Kirshner was good, but that's it.
Mm.
And the funny thing is that Peter actually sent us in a review for the Black Dahlia.
12 pages long,
but what we have to say, it's handwritten pages, so I don't know how much that is in Word. But
we were gonna read it out, but I think we'll just attach it to the blog.
Yeah, but he said basically the acting is shit, the script is shit, which is probably why the acting is shit as well.
Mm.
And overall, it just ruins the book, which he has read. I've never read it,
not
so
either.
I couldn't comment on that. Basically, he says it's not really worth your money.
Mm.
I think he ended on a really nice line. What did he write? What was it? Ew, I can't even read this.
Yeah, don't worry about it then.
Yeah, that's like gross. He didn't like it. And then she has a list that was really good for us, a want-to-see list.
Mm, absolutely.
She put Man of the Year on there, which we hadn't even heard about,
no.
So we checked it. It's a Robin Williams film. It looks really good.
Awesome cast.
Oh, yeah, it was Robin Williams.
And Lauren Linney.
And Lauren Linney.
Yeah, and Christopher Walken.
Was that him?
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, so those three... Awesome. We're going to watch it. We're going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, which I'm not interested in.
Yeah, I wanted to see this. And the funny thing is that she wrote, behind Marie Antoinette, she wrote, even though I hate Kirsten Dunst.
We have a friend.
We just bawled out laughing. We couldn't... it was amazing because a friend of ours, a girl, she hates Kirsten Dunst.
Mm.
And we were like, why do you hate Kirsten Dunst? Because we wanted to make her watch Spider-Man. And she was like, I hate Kirsten Dunst. Because
she was in an interview with the Vampire Slayer with Christian Slater.
Yeah.
And she has a massive crush on Christian Slater.
And our friend had this huge crush on Christian Slater when she was 11 years old or whatever. And Kirsten Dunst was in this movie. Yeah. And so she hates Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Kirsten Dunst doesn't even share a scene with Christian Slater in it.
No.
But anyway, yeah, one of our friends, she just hates Kirsten Dunst with a passion.
Yeah.
So it's not just UTIP. Then she has Running with Scissors on it,
which we're gonna see.
Which I can't wait to see. I read the book a couple of months ago, so I gave it to Kat. And Augustine Burroughs is just amazing.
Mm.
Is it Augustine Burroughs?
I don't know.
Well, Augustine something. And I think it was Burroughs. And it's an amazing book. It is just great. And they have a great cast for it. It's like Annette Bening is in there and a lot of others. Great. And then she put The Pursuit of Happiness on it, which we really had never heard of.
Yeah.
And it's a Will Smith movie.
Yeah, it looks such like a nice film.
It looks it looks amazing. It's like Will Smith went from these big budget blockbuster films to character acting. It looks great.
And then the last one
is The Good Shepherd.
Which we checked out, and directed by Robert De Niro. The cast looks fantastic.
Yeah, he's
Angelina
acting
Jolie,
in it.
Matt Damon.
Angie's in it.
Matt Damon.
I'm sorry.
We are so seeing that movie.
Yeah, and it's about the creation of the CIA or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah, we're definitely going to see that. We put it on our list. So Tiff, you said that you're going to see Man of the Year tonight when you emailed that to us. So let us know what you thought. Write a small review, not 12 pages like Peter. Peter, I love you, but 12 pages, I can't read that.
Huge.
But thanks anyway for it.
Absolutely.
So Tiff, let us know what you think. For everyone else, let us know what you think of all kinds of films that you've seen.
Yeah.
What do you think about the reviews we've done for Friends with Money, The Ant Bully, and World Trade Center?
Do you agree with us?
Do you disagree with us? Why? Let us know. Write in. The blog spot is
VD
minus
verbal diarrhea.
No. Minus. No. Okay, let's do this again. VD
minus
verbal
minus
diarrhea
dot blogspot.com.
And there you can find our email address, which is vd.verbaldiarrhea@gmail.com, and diarrhea with two R's.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let us know what you think. Still email us with the best movies of the year in your point of view. We still haven't put that on the blog, what we think are the best movies of the year.
Yeah,
but Pirates of the Caribbean is in there, Hot Candy is in there.
Absolutely. And so we'll put up our list soon so you can tell us yours.
Definitely.
Well.
We were actually thinking about doing an audio commentary for a movie. Like John said something.
Yeah.
I was like, as soon as Ice Age 2 is out, which you haven't seen yet,
we're
going to do an audio commentary.
We'll do four audio commentaries for movies.
With a little scratch going, fighting off the piranhas. Yeah. Oh, it was great. So I think that was all of the feedback we had.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah, and a shout-out to Casey and Orko, because they listen to our podcast.
Oh, my God. See, we totally forgot to talk about something.
Yeah.
First of all, yeah, Elka, happy birthday. I don't know when you're going to listen to this.
Yeah, we've got some Amber Benson stuff for you.
Yeah, her birthday is on the 19th of October, and I have a huge crush on Elka because she has a hugely, cutely laugh.
What we did, because we couldn't get an interview with Amber Benson, we actually got some video footage of her.
Yeah.
We're going to send that to you, Elka.
Yeah, we have to apologize to everyone who wrote in questions for Amber. We wrote them down. I had this whole interview structure worked out. But then the event on Thursday was it wasn't just a slight disaster, it was a catastrophe.
It was
a catastrophe.
Alright, thank you.
Even though it's not your fault. So yeah, the VIPs, the VIPs, they left rather hurriedly after the screening of the movie.
Yeah.
So
we managed to get some really good photos and some good footage.
Yeah.
So we'll be trying to post that online.
Yeah,
soon.
Exactly. Don't play with the cable. Sorry. So I think we got good photos and some nice footage. We unfortunately didn't know that they were going to bail on us. Otherwise, we would have tried to get the interview done ASAP.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, we're going to post a video of Amber Benson, which is going to be very short.
Mm.
But she looked good.
Mm,
she was there with her boyfriend, who was one of the triumvirate guys.
Yeah.
I'm not that well versed in Buffyverse, so.
No, it was basically one of the three trio guys that. The one that ended up shooting Tara.
Yeah, the one that killed Tara
is now her
boyfriend.
Is now her boyfriend.
Hey, Amber, if I kill you too, can I be your girlfriend? No, I have a crush on Elka.
Yeah.
So that's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend's probably going to mind, though.
You think?
Maybe. Well, anyway, I think that was it. So we talked about Amber Benson, and we're really, really
sorry guys,
we couldn't get the interview. Because we're going to post photos and we're going to post video because we were not making this up.
Mm.
That Amber Benson was really there and we could have gotten the interview, but it didn't work out the way it was planned, so we're very sorry about that.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to try to watch Little Miss Sunshine, which is an indie flick.
Yep.
Looks really amazing.
Can't wait.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Anything else? Anything new?
No, I don't think so. I think that's all.
I think that's it.
All right.
So we're going to wrap up the show. Don't forget the blogspot, which is...
vd-verbal-diarrhea.blogspot.com.
Exactly. Leave us feedback on the blog, email us, whatever.
Yeah.
Just let us know what you think. Write in with what you want us to talk about, what you want to hear. Write us in if you want us to shut up, even though we're not going to shut up.
Absolutely. We're going to keep on doing this.
And I want to do a shout out to Dave in New Zealand. Actually, he commented on the blog and told me that I'm actually talking too fast.
And a shout out to John and Tony, who also listened to the
Tony
podcast.
The stripper!
Tony the stripper.
Oh, he's cute. Tony the stripper. Yeah, well, Kat had her birthday a couple of months ago.
We'll go into that another day.
And there was this stripper. She got a striptease.
Yeah.
That was nice. It was fun.
Yeah, shame it wasn't a girl, but anyway.
Well, you're that... Really? You just want a girl strip for you?
Oh,
he was cute, though.
He was cute.
He was cute and hot and awesome. So, yeah, we're going to wrap up the show. We hope you like the song. It's
You Suck by the Murmurs.
Yeah, Alicia Haley from The L Word. We love you, Alicia.
Yeah, you rock, Alicia.
Absolutely. So, because we suck. Because we didn't put an Amber Benson interview up because we didn't get
one. We thought this song was absolutely appropriate.
Yeah, so you guys can think that we suck, so you suck.
Okay.
Okay, over and out. Right. That was Verbal Diarrhea for this time.
Ciao.
And see you next.
Ciao.
Those we done, yeah. But right now there's dust on my guitar, you fuck.